B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's 4:30. We got to get a Twitter poll update here before we get to Tim McManus and get some Eagles chat going on the Mike Missinelli Show. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons and powered by Moyer.com. Jen, what do the numbers say right now?
Okay, over 1,000 votes. Be honest, did you overreact to the Sixers' loss to the Heat on a back-to-back without Harden? 92%. No, stayed calm.
The 8% of people, I would love to talk to you because I know you were thinking, I don't want to yell at you. I just want to like reason with you here. I want to have an interesting conversation with the people that are freaked out about the fact that they lost the game without one of their great players and are worried about things like the bench and the backup center. And speaking of backup center, no Millsap tonight, so DeAndre Jordan may get his first taste of Sixer action. But let's talk some Eagles right now. Man covering Eagles for ESPN.com. It's a busy time of the year. You just had the combine, and we'll be focused on who the Eagles are going to draft. And I think our next guest has some ideas. His name is Tim McManus. Hello, Tim.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I know it's been this time, a busy time of the year for you on figuring out where they're going to go in this draft.
Yeah, and free agency, too. I mean, that's creeping up right around the corner. Starts next week, and that's the first kind of piece of the puzzle that the Eagles are going to be looking at to see what holes they can fill. And there's a decent amount of them, Mike. I mean, you go from safety. Both of the starting safeties are pending free agents. So is one of the starting cornerbacks. Edge rush is a huge need with defensive end and the defensive line only generating 29 sacks last year. That was second worst in the entire NFL. And then I would say on the offensive side, wide receivers a need. They have some money to chop away at a couple of those needs coming up, and then draft to fill in the rest.
All right, let's get into specifics here. First of all, reading your story today on ESPN.com, and in your first paragraph, that you cite Howie Roseman saying there's no doubt that he views Jalen Hurts as the starting quarterback for the 2022 season. And then the next sentence that you write is, assuming that's settled. So do you believe it is settled? Because he said a lot of things like that. Hey, oh, absolutely, he's going to be our starter. And then it's just something to say, and you don't have to hold to it.
I think that it's going to be the most likely outcome is that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starter next season. The Eagles have been pretty strong in their messaging, I think. They could have taken a number of different tacks in the two times that Howie Roseman has spoken publicly this offseason, and both times he gave pretty solid endorsements of Jalen Hurts. But you're right to bring up that he said things like that before, most notably with Carson Wentz right before he traded him, saying he's like a finger on my hand, mm-hmm. I think is the way. Yeah. And, he cut that off pretty quick.
Yeah.
So we also know that they were looking very hard at the Deshaun Watson last offseason. Like, that stuff was real. I think that, as we know, this organization explores all different avenues. So I'm not saying it's definitely going to be Hurts, but I would say all things considered, it's the most likely outcome.
Okay, so let's just play with a couple concepts. The Russell Wilson concept and the Deshaun Watson concept. I don't understand this, Deshaun Watson. Why this is taking so long to resolve itself. So, first of all, the Russell Wilson thing. Possibility?
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, we know that he is essentially this team's white whale. You know, they missed out on him when he was in the draft. They wanted him really bad, and so obviously he's a player that that they would be interested in acquiring. But I don't know that, like, Wilson was just on TV a couple of days ago saying that he doesn't want to come to the East Coast, essentially. Mm-hmm. And Seattle hasn't signaled yet that they're willing to trade him, and Wilson hasn't behind the scenes come to them this offseason to say that he wants to be traded. So that, it just doesn't feel like there's going to be movement there or certainly in the direction of Philly. I just don't see it right now.
Okay. And Deshaun Watson. What are you hearing is the latest on whether this kid ever plays again?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people in the league expect a suspension when it does finally get resolved. And there was indications from his attorney that maybe some of that would be done in early April, which would bring clarity to it. And then I think that we would see some things going from there. But there's still such a high level of uncertainty of what exactly you're getting into as an acquiring franchise that I would think that the market is going to, you know, stay calm until they figure out exactly, you know, what criminal, you know, indictment or not that he's going to have or not, you know, what comes from the civil cases. And once there's more clarity there, I think they'll maybe teams will start moving. But it's so complicated, Mike. You know, and because of that, I think if they're weighing like, okay, you're introducing all that, and you're going to have to give up like 3 first round picks, maybe more. And, you know, and Jalen Hurts, you have at a really reasonable number this year. He's only making a little bit over $1 million, which gives you a ton of flexibility. And so I think that's all part of the equation. Like, is it possible that Watson comes here? Yes. I mean, because we know that they've shown interest in him, but I would bet against it, I guess.
All right. Let's look at the draft and figure out what exactly they'd be looking for in the draft. And we know what positions they need. And I'm looking at mock drafts every day, and everybody seems to not be plugged into Philadelphia when they do these mock drafts, because a lot of the mock drafts, and most of them, actually have the Eagles taking a linebacker. Like this one I'm looking at today has them taking the Kobe Dean with their first pick at 15. That's probably not going to happen, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, they have to prove that they're going to operate differently before we, you know, believe them. I mean, they never draft linebackers in the first round. They are perennially the team that invests least or close to the least amount of resources in the linebacker position. And so for them to flip and 180 and take a linebacker, I mean, N'Kobe Dean was impressive to them, but like that doesn't mean that they're going to draft them in the first round. There's a lot of guys that were impressive, and including at the combine this past week. So, I think it's more like edge rusher.
Okay.
To me,
the Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
So yeah, the edge rushers that will be there, the Ojabo will probably be there, maybe Karlaftis. I mean, would you believe that would be their first selection, the edge rusher?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have 3 picks. I mean, they have 3 picks. I don't think that they're going to use all of them. My guess would be that they take at least one of them and draft back, and maybe even back to the 2023 draft and see what the quarterback group looks like then and see what Hurts does this season. So I think, you know, we're looking at probably them using two first round picks, and maybe they use, you know, some of that draft capital to move up and get a guy like Ojabo might be there, but
yeah,
maybe he won't be.
It's possible.
These edge rushers fly off the board.
All right. So if they absolutely make edge rusher a priority, their next priority, in your view, would be where? Would it be safety, cornerback, a wide receiver? Because there are probably going to be some interesting names there at wide receiver.
Yeah, for sure. But I would say, if I were to guess on that, I would say corner. I think that you can get some things done in free agency at wide receiver. The name that I keep going back to is Juju Smith-Schuster. I think that he's a slot receiver that you could probably get on a 1-year deal because he's coming off of shoulder surgery, 25 years old, has a lot of production in the league, and gives Jalen Hurts a solid target over the middle of the field. They like Quez Watkins. I mean, they like him. And obviously Devontae Smith has been what looks like a home run for them. So then you're if you have Smith-Schuster in there, then the receiver, like, do you have to take a receiver in the first round for a third consecutive year? I would say no to that. And safety, I think that they're going to pepper hard in free agency, Mike. Yeah, I think that they're going to go after Justin Reed.
Okay.
I think that if they end up spending sizable money, like, I don't know that they're going to get like a big splash free agent, but I think somebody like Justin Reed on a multi-year deal, 25 years old, runs a 4.440, can cover the field really well for them, can do some of the things that, that Jonathan Gannon wants. You know, I can see them being in pursuit of him and then maybe double dip at safety with a guy like Marcus May, who was on the franchise tag just a year ago. And then he ran into some health problems this past year and also had a DUI. But maybe, you know, maybe because of those factors, you can get him on a 1 year deal. So I think that they're going to go hard safety in free agency. I think that they're going to go wide receiver to get some veteran experience in free agency. And that opens you up, you know, to, to take positions like corner in the first round.
That's $23 million in cap room they have. And so that can accommodate these needs that you just mentioned.
Well, I mean, that amount is 13th in the NFL at last check. So that's decent. But they've also, you know, stretched out a lot of these contracts. They do have some more maneuverability in there, but, you know, like to your point, I don't think they can go crazy, but if you're getting, like, let's say they prioritize three players, right? If they do like a Justin Reed on a multi-year deal, they do somebody like May on a 1 year deal and Smith-Schuster on a 1 year deal. Yeah, I think he can work with that. So, you know, they're in a situation where they can be bigger players in free agency than they have like the last 2 years. So,
all right, last question. It's a general question. Calvin Ridley suspended a betting scandal here. Could this be a bigger deal than just one dude?
Sure. I mean, I can't say it for certainty, but if you just look at how many players are in the NFL, how available it is to bet now, you know, how streamlined it is, where, it, you know, everybody's encouraging you to. In fact, you know, some of these guys are getting paid to, you know, to pub whatever, different sites, but you can't do it yourself. And, you know, the line that he crossed, what it seems like from what the reporting most recently out, is that he was betting on his own team. So that's, you know, the NFL has to crack down very hard because, you know, they have to try to tell the public that everything's on the up and up and deliver that message loud and clear. And so I think that's why Ridley got slammed as hard as he did. And if they find any more, it's the same thing.
Well, what happens if they find out that he was betting against his team? And of course, he did not, like, play to the Calvin Ridley level this year. In fact, took a kind of a leave of absence at one point this year. What happens if that's the case?
I mean, they investigated it, they said, and they said that they didn't find that it altered the game in any way. They didn't include whether, you know, he was going against the team. But, you know, it seems like it has been discovered that he was betting on games that involved his team. So I'm not sure if more evidence comes in. I mean, could he be subjected to further punishment? Sure. But, you know, that's...
I mean, I'm thinking he could be banned forever. I don't know. This is like a Pete Rose situation. They find that he was betting against his team.
Well, that's the name that came to my mind, too.
Yeah.
I mean, so much has changed on the gambling aspect. But, you know, involving your own team with that, that's... You know, that's a line.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the organizations are going to be willing to cross.
All right. Timmy, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll touch base up the road.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, Tim. Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.